Luke chapter 2, look if you would, starting at verse 8. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Let's pray. Father, again, we come before you this morning, Lord, and Lord, we have come here this day, Lord, to hear preaching, and Lord, to worship you. And Lord, we came here to hear from you as well. Lord, I pray this morning that through this message, Lord, you'll speak to our hearts. Lord, I don't know what these people need, Lord, but you do, and you know what they need to hear. And Father, I just pray that each individual today, Lord, will just get a word from you, whether it be encouragement, whether it be conviction, whatever it may be. Father, speak to us today through your word. And I pray, Lord, you'll be glorified in the preaching. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When Jesus was just a boy, there were certain representative groups that were able to see him personally. Actually look into his face. There was Simon and Anna, who were devout believers. They represent spiritual-minded people who got to see Jesus first when he was very young. The wise men came. We learned about them last week, about what was it that truly makes men wise, and we learned that there were some things these wise men did that would make them wise. Again, when the Bible calls them wise men, it's God calling them wise, okay? And there were certain things they did that showed them to be wise, certain things that we can do as Christians that would show us to be wise. But they came and they saw Jesus. They saw him as a little boy, and that reminds us of studious people. But the only group who really got to see Jesus Christ as a baby right after he had been born was the group that of common ordinary people, just common people, and that was the group of the shepherds. Now, the life of the shepherd was a difficult kind of life, and they were considered to be kind of low on the social scale. In other words, when it come to everybody that lived around in Jerusalem, when you talk about the shepherds, they were not looked at as being the people that everybody wanted to hang around with. They weren't the ones that everybody held up to be in a high position. Most people didn't regard them with a great deal of respect. So you really wouldn't expect a great deal of to take place where the shepherds were just out there tending a few sheep. If you think about it, if you really wanted to be where things were happening at that time, you'd probably want to go to Rome, because after all, that's where all the ambassadors of all the world would meet. They were coming in and out of there, political decisions were being made, and the changes that were happening that would change the course of the whole world, all that was coming out of Rome. So if you really wanted to know where it was happening, that would have been there. Or maybe you just wanted to go to a place where there were great philosophers living and controlling the thinking of people. Maybe you'd want to go to Athens back in those days for that. Or maybe if you were just wanting to go where there was a bunch of religious people gathered around, and you want to know what was happening religiously, then you would probably go to Jerusalem, because that's where the scriptures were being kept. That's where the Pharisees were. That's where the Sadducees were. All the priests. In fact, the different religions were there in Jerusalem as well, not just Judaism. All these things would have been taking place there. But sometimes, you know, what this world considers to be important matters, heaven doesn't look at those things as important matters. How many of you understand this morning the things that we think are important is not always the same thing that heaven thinks is important and what the Bible says is important? So when Jesus was born here in that manger, and he was laid in that manger, a group of shepherds had gathered, and they were tending sheep. And the Bible says these shepherds had an experience which really brings the wonder and the beauty of the true meaning of Christmas to all of us. If you'll notice, we started last week looking at the characters of Christmas. And what it does, it leads up to Christmas because, let's face it, Christmas is all about Jesus Christ. Okay, that's what it's always been about, and that's what it should be about today. Now, we know that Christmas is it's commercialized, and there's a lot of other things that's thrown in with Christmas Day, but the true meaning of Christmas is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm, you know, of course, in the past, we've always looked at, you know, when Jesus was born. And you can actually figure out almost to the specific day that he was born by going not only back from his death, but also from the prophecy given to Zacharias there in Luke chapter 1. So you can find it out. And really, if it comes right down to it, you say, well, when was Jesus really born? I mean, a lot of people say, well, why are we celebrating his birth in December? When was he really born? He would have been born sometime around the second week of September. And there's also another day, what the Bible calls a holy day during that time, called the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, if you ask me, I think that's his actual birthday. And I will say this, that once Jesus comes back to this earth to rule and reign, do you realize there's only one feast that people are going to have to keep when he's ruling and reigning? You know what feast that is? The Feast of Tabernacles. And everybody around the whole world is going to have to travel to Jerusalem to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It's right there in the book of Zechariah. Wonder why that is. Now, that Feast of Tabernacles is a whole week long. If that is his birthday, how many of you like to celebrate Christmas on one day? You know, a lot of people say, boy, it's pretty stressful. Well, get used to it because Christmas is going to last a week long once he comes back. Amen? And it ain't going to be commercialized like it is now. All right? And so what we've done here is we started off last week and we looked at characters of Christmas to lead up to the true meaning of Christmas, which is Jesus Christ. And that'll be next week. Last week we started with the wise men. Today we look at the shepherds. Now, when you look at these shepherds and you look at everything to do with these shepherds, you really do see the true meaning of Christmas. And so I want to show you the meaning of Christmas by first looking at the job of the shepherds. Now, the vocation of a shepherd tending the sheep is one of the pictures in the Bible that has a great deal of meaning. For example, David was a shepherd. First time you ever read about David in the Bible, he was a young man tending his sheep. And out of that experience, David wrote the 23rd Psalm, where he begins by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." So the shepherd and the sheep is a beautiful picture of God's relationship with people, and it reveals to us what Christmas is all about. Now, when you get to those Christmas cards that we sometimes get, and it has those little fluffy sheep on them, how many know what I'm talking about? A lot of them are even homemade, where they'll take the little stick of the sheep and they'll take cotton and put it there, and that's a sheep. Sometimes when we get those cards, we get the idea that it's a compliment to be called sheep. We get that idea, okay? Whenever we read about the Lord being our shepherd and us being the sheep, when we read scriptures where the Lord says, "My sheep hear my voice," we sometimes think, well, boy, that's great, we're sheep. Not really. Not really. The fact of the matter is sheep are not all that beautiful. Sheep are hard-headed and stubborn creatures. That would not define anybody here, obviously. Sheep are also not the sharpest animals. You know, you can train all kinds of animals. You can train dogs, you can train cats, you can even train elephants. But you can't train sheep. Can't train sheep. Also, sheep's mentality caused them to follow one another rather than always following the shepherd, which always leads to trouble because the sheep that all the other sheep are following, they're not the sharpest either, but yet they still follow them. You know, today a lot of people follow things like the media and let the media decide what they think. A lot of people today let their peers make the decisions for them and decide what they think, just like sheep. People doing things because other people are doing them. I remember when I was growing up, one of the things my dad used to say to me all the time was, if he jumped off a cliff, would you jump off too? How many of you ever heard that? You know why he said that? Because we're all like sheep. We're all like sheep. Something else about sheep. Sheep have no sense of direction. In other words, it's easy for a sheep to get lost. Now, they don't mean to get lost. That's not their intention. But they just wander a little off the path and, you know, eat a little bit of the green grass right here, and over there is a little bit more green grass, And pretty soon, they nibble grass over here and over there, and pretty soon they're lost. And a sheep will never find his way back home. Other animals can. I mean, you could take a dog. You could take a dog 20 miles out of town, drop him off. Time you get back to your house, he's sitting there on your front porch waiting on you. Amen? But that's not the way it is with sheep. You know, a sheep gets lost. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, is all we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. Our desire to do it our way and to do not do things the Lord's way, but to go our own way and do things our way and make our own decisions apart from what God wants, that makes us lost. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Sheep have no sense of direction. Sheep are also defenseless. They don't know how to defend themselves. Most animals do. I mean, dogs bite, cats scratch, skunks, well, you know what skunks do. But they have a way of defending themselves, but not a sheep. Sheep don't have a way to defend themselves. And that's the way it is with us. We think that we can defend ourselves. We think that we can do things in our own power. But you know, we don't have anything in our own strength. We can't defend ourselves at all. I mean, Christians today think that they're some sort of match for the wiles of the devil in their own strength. That's a laugher. There's no way that you could stand up to the wiles of the devil in your own strength. And so, you know, the devil's been using the same mythology for a long time, and even since the Garden of Eden, yet man has never learned how to overcome the wiles of the devil. No wonder sheep need a shepherd. We're defenseless. It is not a compliment in the Bible to be called sheep. It's a reminder to us of man's predicament. It's a reminder of us of what sin has done to our thinking and the way we do. And I suppose that Christmas time, all the way through New Year's, we probably see man's predicament is about as bad as it's ever going to be when you start seeing all the parties and the drinking and all these things that go on during a time when this world is supposed to be celebrating the birth of a Savior. You see just how wretched man is. So these shepherds tending the sheep give us a message about the predicament of man. It also gives us a message about the providence of God. Sheep need a shepherd. Without a shepherd, I mean, we just go everywhere. We just be scattered everywhere. But here, these shepherds were tending the sheep. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ is a shepherd. Now, he was a carpenter by occupation, but in the Bible, he's called a shepherd. In fact, in John chapter 10, he calls himself a shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. In Hebrews chapter 13, he's called the great shepherd. It says in Hebrews 13:20, says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He's called the great shepherd. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, he's called the chief shepherd. It says there, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. How many of you are looking forward to the chief shepherd appearing? Amen. Listen, folks, when he appears, it's going to be a good day. If you've been living for the Lord and you've been willing to suffer for the Lord, you'll get to reign with the Lord, and therefore you'll get a crown of glory when he comes back. Every sheep needs a shepherd. Every person needs a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that Savior. He is the good shepherd. But do you realize before he became the shepherd, he was first a lamb? I mean, you ever think about that? The Bible calls Jesus a lamb. The lamb was used in the Bible as a picture of what Jesus Christ came in this world to do. If you'll remember, the sheep were used in the Old Testament sacrifices. These animals were brought to the altars and they were sacrificed and their blood was poured, representing the fact that the Savior would one day give his life and shed his blood for the sins of men. All through the Bible, there is a search for a lamb. The first time that a lamb is ever mentioned is back in Genesis chapter 22, where Abraham and his son Isaac, they're heading up on the mountain. He's going to sacrifice his son. And when they get up there, while on the altar, Isaac says to his father Abraham, you know, here's wood and here's fire, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And all through the Old Testament, the question is raised, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? But in the books of the New Testament, the question is answered. Because the very first time the word lamb is used in the New Testament, you know what it says? It's in John chapter 1, verse 29. And it says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. That's the first time you see it in the New Testament. You see, in the Old Testament, they were always searching for a lamb to sacrifice for the sins of the people. They were looking for the perfect lamb without blemish. That's what they were looking for. But in the New Testament, it tells you where that lamb is and what those lambs all represented. Behold, the Lamb of God. So you and I have a Savior. You and I have a Savior, and His name is Jesus. He's the Good Shepherd who became a lamb, and He gave Himself to die for the sheep. So when we approach the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we look at these shepherds remind us through their vocation, through what they did, that they were sinners in need of a Savior, the same as we are. And that God has answered our need for a Savior by giving us the Lord Jesus Christ to be born in that manger so long ago. In giving Jesus the gift of the whole world, God has provided a way of salvation to everyone who wants to be saved. So in this account of the birth of Christ, we see the job of the shepherds. Now, if you look starting at verse 9 in our passage here, you'll also notice the vision of these shepherds. These shepherds, keeping their sheep on the hillside that night, got to see what few men have ever got to see. If you look there in Luke chapter 2, look at verse 9. It says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid." Every time I read that passage, I'm thinking to myself, boy, I would be too. And all of a sudden, angels show up, and the glory of the Lord's around there. I mean, you're out there on the hillside with your sheep, and all of a sudden this happens. I imagine they were afraid. But it says the angel here came upon them, and you'll notice that these angels were very busy during the birth of Christ. I mean, the angel appeared unto Joseph, talked to him. An angel appeared unto Mary, talked to her. Before that, all that happened, an angel came to Zechariah and talked to him. That was the father of John the Baptist. And so the angels were very busy during this time. And here the angel of the Lord appears to the shepherds, and the Bible says that the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And then it says in verse 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The words good tidings refers to good news. He's saying, good news. And this is the good news that's going to apply to everybody. Everybody on the whole earth. And that good, you say, well, what is the good news? Well, in the Bible, good news is, really, it's the gospel. Whenever you give the gospel to somebody today, what the word gospel means is good news. And let me tell you something. When you're out telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, it is good news that they can be saved. It is good news that they don't have to die in their sins. It's good news that they don't have to go to hell. We have the good news. And so that's what these angels came here. They were giving good tidings. Now, what they were giving is not the gospel that we give today. The good news they were saying was they were giving is this, that now the Savior has been born. The one who can save you from your sins has now come to this earth. That's good news. I mean, if you think about it, that's the second best news that this earth has ever heard. The fact that Jesus Christ is born in the city of David. Amen? That's the second best news this earth has ever heard. You say, what's the first? He has risen. That's the best news. Because listen, Him coming to earth shows that we need a Savior, and the Lord sent, and God sent a Savior to us in the form of a man, Jesus Christ. He gave us this. What a great gift that is. But let me tell you something, folks. If He did not die on the cross, if He did not come out of the grave, it didn't mean anything. So it's the second best news. To those people, it was the best news at that time. And certainly to us, it's good news as well. That was the good tidings. That was the good news. It was the fact that people could now be saved from their sins. Look at verse 11. It says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Good news is a Savior had been born. You know, this world needs a Savior. The world doesn't need another philosopher. It needs a Savior. The world doesn't need another politician. It needs a Savior. The good news is we have a Savior this morning. Verse 11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Let me ask you this morning, do you have a Savior? Do you have a shepherd? You know what a great time it would be right here at Christmas to receive the gift of everlasting life by receiving Jesus Christ? I mean, there is no present that you could possibly put under your tree that would be a better gift than that. To know that you have heaven as your home. To know that one of these days that you'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ singing praises with all the host of heaven. To know that you'll never have to go to hell ever. Well, that would be a pretty great gift. And it could be yours this morning if you've never received him. You can know for sure that you're heaven-bound and saved from your sins and saved from hell. There's no presence you could ever have that could ever compare to that. You can have that gift this morning if you'll call upon him for salvation if you're not saved. Now, if you look at verse 13, notice it says this. It says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and singing." And these people, these shepherds were able to see all of this. I mean, can you imagine being those shepherds that, one, you see an angel show up and the glory of the Lord shines about you, and then all of a sudden a whole host of angels start showing up and they start singing. They start saying glory and praises to God. Can you imagine that? I mean, can you imagine seeing what these shepherds saw that night? And it says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You know, verse 14 there is one of the most misused verses in all the Bible. You say, what in the world are you talking about, Pastor, misused? You know, you can look everywhere today. You can look on Christmas cards. You can look on Christmas floats. You can look it on TV, going across the bottom of the screen, and you'll see the words, "peace on earth, goodwill towards men." How many of you have ever seen that phrase, "peace on earth, goodwill towards men"? It's everywhere this time of year. But they leave out the most important part. You see, the part that you never see, you never see the first part of it where it says, "glory to God in the highest." You never see that. I tell you what, go look on those Hallmark cards. Go watch it on TV. Go look at those floats. And you tell me if you see "glory to God in the highest" there. No, you see goodwill, you know, peace towards men, goodwill towards men. You see that, but you don't see the "glory to God in the highest" part. You know why? Because this world wants to give no glory to God. They want to give the glory to man. They want to make sure it's always about men. So they have no problem at all saying "peace on earth, goodwill towards men." Let me tell you something, folks. They can talk about peace on earth all they want to, but there will be no peace on this earth till the Lord comes back. Amen. He's the Prince of Peace. But that's what you hear. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. No, wait a second. Give God the glory. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And might I also tell you this? For those people who have not received Jesus Christ, do you realize when he gave you the message here, it says, "glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men." Why did that angel say that? Because the Savior had just been born. The Savior had just been born. Now, I'm just going to tell you something, folks. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you don't have peace, you don't have that at all, and you don't have goodwill towards you either. You don't have that. Let me tell you how you have peace. By receiving Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how you have peace. Let me tell you how you have goodwill from heaven towards you. By receiving Jesus Christ. You see, he was a Savior. And only those people who recognize him as a Savior and receive him as Savior have peace and goodwill. Only those. But for a person that's lost, who rejects the Savior that was sent for them, the one that, you know, there are a lot of people today, I just think about the hypocrisy. Everybody talks about how churches are full of hypocrites. No, this world is full of hypocrites. You want to tell you something that's really hypocritical? For a lost person to sit there and say, "peace, goodwill towards men." I mean, if you think about that, they're rejecting that little baby that they're making such a big deal of. They rejected that little baby. They rejected him. They rejected him when he died on the cross. And they're sitting there saying, "peace, goodwill towards men." Hey, listen, the only way you're ever going to have peace is by receiving that Savior that was sent. That's the only way you're ever going to have peace. That's the only way you're going to have goodwill toward men. The birth of Jesus Christ was a great event, no doubt about it. He was one of the greatest events on this earth. But it was also a great event in heaven as well. The birth of Jesus Christ brings glory to God in the highest. And to whomever Jesus becomes Savior, to that man there is peace and goodwill. We should all give praise and thanks unto the Lord for the unspeakable gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And by our lips and by our lives, we should bring glory to God in everything that we do. God has given us a Savior, and the angels announced it to the shepherds that night. And what a wonderful Christmas message that is to us. I mean, really, if you want to think about truly what Christmas is all about, we could look at the wise men. We could look at all these different things. But when you think about those shepherds and what those shepherds heard and what they saw that night and what was given to this world, when those words said, For unto you a Savior is born. Boy, what words. That's what Christmas is all about, folks. It's all about that. Sometimes as Christians, we say, well, we want to keep Christ in Christmas, and I agree with that. But then we think of the little baby Jesus sitting there in the manger, and that's wonderful. But it doesn't mean anything unless he's your Savior. It doesn't mean anything. The true meaning of Christmas is not just a little baby lying in a manger. That's not the true meaning of Christmas. The true meaning of Christmas is who that baby was lying in that manger. He's the Savior. God sent a Savior to this earth. God has given us a Savior, and the angels announced it to the shepherds that night. What a wonderful Christmas message. So we've seen the job of the shepherds. We've seen the vision of the shepherds. And then finally, we see the visit of the shepherds to the manger. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Now, right there tells you a whole lot about them shepherds right there, because, I mean, think about it. They had just seen the angel come, then they saw the angels come there, and the glory of the God shone about them. And then all of a sudden the angels go back up into heaven, and they say this, let us see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. It kind of tells you about them shepherds that maybe they believed in the Lord. Amen. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now imagine this, folks. Now, as if they had not already seen, I mean, many spectacular things that night already. I mean, they had already seen one angel come. Then they saw a multitude of angels come. And the glory of God shone about them. Then all of a sudden they show up here where the Lord is at, where Jesus is at, and they see Jesus. Have you ever thought about what it must have been like to look in that little baby's face and knowing that you're looking in the face of God? Boy, isn't that wild? I mean, can you imagine that? To look at that little baby's face and knowing you're looking at God, you're looking at the Savior of the entire world. That's what they got to see that night. They saw Jesus. They met the Savior that night. Look at verse 17. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. When these shepherds saw Jesus, I can't imagine what they must have been feeling like when they were actually looking down at the baby Jesus. I can't even imagine it. But I'll tell you this, it absolutely overwhelmed them. I mean, to them, that was the greatest news that they had ever heard. To them, nothing compared to be able to look at the Savior and know that the Savior was here on this earth. Nothing compared to that. And in fact, it affected them so much, and they were so amazed at it, and they were so overwhelmed by it that they couldn't hold it in to themselves. They had to go tell somebody about it. They had to go tell somebody about it. I mean, it was a great event. The greatest event they had ever seen. They got to look at the baby Jesus. They got to look in the face of God. And they said, listen, this is just, it's just too much to keep a secret. We've got to tell people about this. The Savior has been sent. Boy, what great news. And it says here, that's exactly what they did. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. This was an event that was important to the whole world, that everybody needed to know about it. A Savior was born. The only one who could ever save man from his sins was born. The way to heaven was lying right there in the manger. The King of Kings had arrived, and these shepherds couldn't help but tell it. And I've often thought that anyone who's truly been born again, may I tell you this morning, if you've been born again, the good news you have, it's far better than the news they had. The news they had was a Savior been sent to this earth. The news you have is that you can be saved today if you receive Jesus Christ. That's the news you have. Now, I think if I asked this morning, I said, how many of you are happy that you have received Jesus Christ? No doubt everybody would raise their hand. I don't think anybody would say, no, I'm not happy I received Jesus Christ, I'm going to heaven. No, everybody would raise their hand and say, amen, I'm thankful. I'm thankful I'm saved. I'm thankful that I've been forgiven my sins. I'm thankful I'm going to heaven. But you know, as Christians, we become so hard-hearted and we become so mechanical in everything that we do that we don't really think about the wonder of things. We don't think so much about truly what it means to be saved. Those shepherds looked at that baby and they said, man, the people got to hear about this. I mean, the Savior's been born. People got to hear that they could be saved. And it meant everything to them. They went out and they told everybody. And it says the world wondered about what they had been told. And as Christians today, there are Christians today who never go out and tell anybody about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are Christians today who never go out and witness to anybody, who never tell the good news, never give good tidings to anybody. They have neighbors living right next to them. They never tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. They have family members. They never tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I begin to wonder, either, number one, maybe their salvation doesn't mean that much to them, or maybe it did at one day and they kind of forgot exactly what they have in Christ. Because honestly, if you sit there and thought about what it truly means to be saved, what it truly means to think that Jesus Christ came to this world to be the Savior, and what it means that you can call upon Him and be saved from all your sins, listen, it isn't like the Lord made it hard. He sent His Son and He did it all for you. All you got to do is trust in Him. And to me, that's pretty good news that Bob Crowder's going to heaven. I'll tell you this. I don't think anybody really wants to die, but if the Lord wanted to take me to heaven, if the Lord wants to come back right now, that would be the best Christmas present ever. Amen. I tell you what, I'll celebrate Christmas up in heaven that quick. That's a good thing, folks, to know that you're going to heaven. What comparison to that? But yet Christians won't go out and tell anybody about that. Have we become so hard-hearted? Have we become so numb to the gospel, so numb to what that Bible says, so numb to what's been given to us, that we just look like, well, it's no big deal. I come to church, hear the pastor preach about going to heaven, and yeah, I'm thankful I'm going to heaven, and go home and never tell anybody about it. That wasn't those shepherds. That wasn't those shepherds. Those shepherds said, people got to know. There's no way I can keep this information to me. Can you imagine if one of those shepherds say, I tell you what, guys, listen, we saw this, but hey, let's keep it to ourselves. Don't you know the rest of them would say, what are you, crazy? The world needs a Savior. Amen. It still does. When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus Christ? When's the last time you got excited about your salvation? When's the last time you were overwhelmed with the fact that you are saved from your sins, that you're going to heaven one day, and you just say, I just have to tell somebody about it? If you're the average Christian in America today, average Christian in America today don't think like that. Very few Christians today say, you know what, I've been saved and I just feel like I have to tell somebody. But that's the way it should be. I bet that's the way it was when you first got saved. But since then, when we're supposed to be growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it seems like many Christians just get more numb and more numb and more numb and to the point where it doesn't mean anything to them anymore. They were very rarely thankful about it. And the last thing they do is tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. Is that you this morning? You wonder, think about this, folks. The true meaning of Christmas is the fact that a Savior came to this world to save you and me from our sins and to make a way to we could get to heaven. He's the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the reason He came. That's the true meaning of Christmas. And we could look at all the different things that you watch on TV, and we could look at all the commercial stuff that's going on and all the ways to make money, and we could get upset, and we could be running around and trying to make this meal or that meal, and Christmas not even mean anything to us. But the truth of the matter is, the true meaning of Christmas, most Christians today don't even know. They just think it's, well, let's keep Christ in Christmas. Yes, let's do, and let's remember everything that happened on that Christmas night, to include going out and telling somebody else about the fact that there is a Savior born and that He came to die for the sins of men. Because that was what true Christmas is all about. Is that you this morning? we get to where we are always against the world for always trying to take Christ out of Christmas. And I'm against them too. I think we should keep Christ in Christmas. Yeah. I agree with that. But you'd be surprised how many Christians themselves don't keep Christ in Christmas. It's just nothing more than just a holiday to them. It's nothing more than just cooking and having family over. That's what it is to them. And that's not what Christmas is about. Let's keep Christ in Christmas and let's tell others about Jesus Christ, because that's a true meaning. Let's stand.